It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, all presented by BetMGM. On the show today, hour number two, as is the case each and every Thursday right here on a numbers game, Bill Krakenberger hanging out with us for an hour unscripted. Among the things we will talk about, we will revisit yesterday's conversation that we had regarding the sort of ethical gaming commission decision that needs to be made about past post betting, an incident that occurred at the Bellagio this past weekend. How will Nevada gaming rule in favor of the better or the sports book? I know Crack's got thoughts on this, and we'll advance that discussion later on in the show. Very interesting thing to talk about. Later, Chrissy Andrews, the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook Director by Mishpucha. We will go through presidential odds. My buddy Blake at sportsoddshistory.com put out historical presidential odds from all the way back in 1872. First question, I have no idea how he has presidential odds from all the way back in 1872. But Danny Burke, who's in studio right now in Las Vegas. Danny, first of all, good morning to you, man. How you doing? There you are. How you doing, Danny? Danny, so we're going to do, between me, you, and Chrissy, we're going to have a baby boomer, Gen X, and we just determined that you were Gen Z, right? Is that what we determined?
Yeah, I guess technically I feel like when people look at me, they probably just generalize me as millennial, and I never really paid attention or cared one way or the other, but I think the cutoff goes from 1980 to 94, so I'm 96, so I guess I'm technically Gen Z is what we've classified it as.
Yeah, so we're going to find out not only historical presidential odds, but how much presidential education you have as a Gen Zer. That should be fun. I'm sure you're looking forward to that. Yeah. Chris Felica, horses, horse racing picks as well today. What else? Oh, we'll talk, of course, about the Rocket Mortgage Classic with Haven Brown, one of the co-hosts of the For Profit Golf Podcast. For, F-O-R-E, exclamation point, of course, pun intended. Danny, you know, we don't get a chance to do this before we bring Haven in. We don't ever really get a chance to review bets that I've made that often. But during this very strange time, during this pandemic, I have alluded to bets that I have made. So if we could review some of these, and I don't know what in order, if you want to start with the golf or if you want to go to the baseball or hockey, whichever order you want to do them in, and we'll just riff on that. So let's throw one up there just to take inventory here. Let's start with golf. Shall we start with the golf picks? I don't know. Let's start with the golf picks. This is a Rocket Mortgage Classic. Now, this on the heels of last week, where didn't hit any of my five to win picks, but all five made the cut, and three of the five were in double-digit numbers under par, which shows you just how ridiculous these scores are that win these tournaments. DJ obviously winning last week at 19 under at the Travelers. But even if I had three guys double-digit on it, it's like good picks, but sorry, not even sniffing, you know, the championship. This week, you know, smaller group of golfers that I think had a shot at it. I did have Patrick Reed, but those are my numbers on Webb Simpson, Tyrrell Hatton, Victor Hovland, and Patrick Reed. So those were the four guys I took a shot at. The tournament matchups, and last week, again, it was not a great week. I was 1-2-1 in my tournament matchups last week. I only have two this week. I thought that was ridiculous numbers on both Simpson and Hatton against Bryson DeChambeau. I get it. Bryson DeChambeau is the overall favorite. He's the short shot. But I'm going to take those numbers against him for the full tournament. And then today, Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau, neither of whom have teed off yet. They will tee off later in the day. But those are my picks, and we'll update the scoreboard here momentarily. Any picks from you, Mr. Burke?
No, I didn't delve into the golf this weekend. I did a little bit last week, and I was kind of on the train with you. I just took a long shot on Patrick Reed, and then just a top 20 play that just did not pan out with Justin Thomas whatsoever. But coming off the win with UFC with help from Lou Finocchiaro, of course. So not too much action. Probably will look to maybe get in-game, whether it be Friday or Saturday, more so than doing anything pre-flop with golf. Because, look, everybody I'm surrounded with here, I mean, especially Brian Rogers, like you pointed out, they're on a winning streak here, so I'm just trying to get involved with it. But it didn't work out last week, so maybe I'll get in some good in-game action and get some good profit that way. We'll see.
Haven Brown is about to be on the show on his podcast. They have hit seven straight winners in golf tournaments, so we'll hear from him. And here are the other sports, and these are the bets that I've made randomly when I was in Vegas and beyond here the last 2 weeks when I was just in the desert. And these are across sports. MLB, I mentioned the Blue Jays over 26.5. Now, by the way, Danny, and I'll be completely honest about the 26.5, that ticket is sitting at my place back in Vegas. I'm pretty sure it was 26.5 on the over, but don't hold me to that number. The Dodgers over was 37.5. I happily made that. I do have those two, by the way, were the Blue Jays and the Dodgers were both at Caesars. The Blue Jays to win the World Series at 200-1 was at the Westgate. Want to be able to earn with that. I have high hopes for the Blue Jays, obviously, get them to the postseason and earn with that. Most wins by any team, the under at 41.5, took that. The most home runs by any player, over 20. I actually feel very good about both of these. The AL MVP and NL MVP were offshore numbers that I made way before the pandemic. Those have been refunded. So my bets on Otani and Acuna to win the AL and NL MVPs, respectively, those have gone by the wayside. I'll have to see what the new numbers are, what I can get. And then the NHL, this may have slipped by some folks, but made bets, Andy McNeil and I did, on the Bruins and the Blues each to get the number one seed in the East and Western conferences. Got them at the best number available, plus 200, plus 260. Mentioned that on the show that day that I did them. Those have since dropped in price, so not as much bang for your buck now if you try to make those. But again, the theory being that those numbers they posted at William Hill were not good ones when they came out, because I think someone might have missed the rules that have been put forth for the NHL postseason, where we'll be using regular season OT rules, where the team that loses will get a point. But if you tie at the top after this strange little round robin, the team with the best regular season win percentage will get the nod as the number one seed. Bruins and Blues go in as the favorites there. Let's look at the Rocket Mortgage leaderboard, and we'll bring in Haven Brown to discuss this as well. Rocket Mortgage leaderboard right now, again, early first round, and we'll do these. It's kind of updating live odds from DraftKings each and every, I don't know about each and every segment, but we'll do it throughout the show. Right now, Chris Kirk is your leader. Chris Kirk, 5 under par through 13. His odds currently 40-1. We'll have to get his pre-flop number. But Chris Kirk, who was born in Tennessee, went to the University of Georgia, lives in Georgia now, 5 under through 13. Last year, took a leave from golf for alcohol and depression. He was quite open about it, took a slight leave from the sport of golf. Look at him atop the leaderboard again, early going of the Rocket Mortgage here in Michigan. That would be quite the story. He's got a one-stroke lead over both Ricky Fowler and Emiliano Grillo from Argentina, who are both through 8 and 6 respectively right there. So Fowler, the biggest name on the leaderboard right now. Webb Simpson, 3 shots back, 2 under right now. Again, early going. DeChambeau, the favorite tournament favorite, I should say, has not teed off. He won't tee off till, well, about 3 hours from now. Let's bring in Haven Brown from the For Profit Golf Podcast. That's F-O-R-E exclamation point, as if a golf ball's coming right at your head. Good morning to you, Haven. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Gil. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. I just told people, and you have to correct me if I'm wrong, you and your co-host, 7 golf winners in a row, 7 consecutive tournaments going back to before the pandemic?
7 back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back winners in a row. That's right.
You sound very excited about this, Haven. Very excited.
Well, yes. What's crazy is it's happened. This is the second time it's happened, actually.
Oh, really? By the way, Chris Kirk just goes to 6 under with a 2-stroke lead now here in the early going. Let's start with your picks. What were your picks here? And for those who are like, hey, wait, the golf tournament's already started. The beauty of golf is you can bet into this, you know, before round 2, round 3, round 4, live betting odds. So these are all still valid numbers, even though you won't get the exact valid players, even though you won't get the same numbers. Let's put them up on the board, Haven. What you got for this tournament here?
Yeah, we were on we were on Hadwin M. A big tournament favorite was Bryson, but I'm a little scared of Bryson this week because they're playing on the 4th week in a row. So I'm a little bit worried about a little bit of fatigue, even though he's just gotten absolutely huge over the past 5 weeks of the pandemic. I was a little bit higher on Webb than my podcast partner, JD. I just think when you get on these birdie fest tracks where they're going to get to like 20 under, that Webb is, I think he's probably the third best golfer in the world right now. So that's who we were on, you know, other than going into some long shots at the bottom.
Let's throw those back up on the board if you could, Danny, for Haven. Haven's bet to win there on the right. I don't know where this, we got this from your Twitter, I believe. Tyrrell Hatton, 15-1, Sungjae Im, Patrick Reed, Victor Hovland, Bubba Watson, Harold Varner. So we matched on three of those, and I only had four total picks. We didn't talk about that. And then your matchups. Haven, do you make most of your, I mean, I would imagine anybody does, though. A win streak is a win streak, and those are fleeting. But your matchups, is that where you make your hay typically?
Yeah, typically the matchups you're going to find, if you think somebody's going to win the tournament, then they should be able to beat one person that's next to them. So, yeah, you can make a lot of money. Actually, a lot of money on top 10s and props also. Given the pandemic, the locals have been offering a lot more props lately, which is kind of a nice out for many of your listeners.
Do you, before the pandemic, Todd Wright, who's a regular guest on the show, his theory going into post-pandemic golf was, with no crowds, he thought a lot more names that were not famous names to the casual golf watcher, golf fan, golf bettor, he thought they would bubble up, especially he's a DFS player, and so he's incorporated a lot more of those names. Did you subscribe to that theory early on? Do you think that theory is manifesting? Are we seeing that, in your opinion? Will we continue to?
Yeah, and I'd agree for the most part. My theory going in was the fact that the crowds not being there were going to benefit a little bit more of the accuracy players also. And the fact that we haven't really seen any rough this week. I'm sorry, this season. And this is the first tournament that we're actually seeing some rough. So I think you're going to see a little bit of difficult course this week.
What are the group of golfers, you were mentioning Webb Simpson, what are the group of golfers that you find yourself continually going back to week to week?
Well, we haven't seen a big course. So I find myself keeping going back to Webb. Who else is playing really good? Bryson is just absolutely playing phenomenal at the moment. Whenever Tyrrell Hatton tees it up, I'm definitely on him. Golfers yes, exactly. Strokes game leader Tyrrell Hatton. Golfers you want to stay away from are names. Ricky, who's been playing like absolute dog crap lately. There's another big guy who's been playing. Jason Day has been playing like absolute trash. So stay away. Like, everybody who's got a big name is not playing well at the moment.
By the way, I just glanced over at the leaderboard, and I was like, well, I was about to say, until today, Ricky Fowler's been playing poorly, but then I just looked up, and he just double bogeyed 18. So he has fallen down the leaderboard as well now, back down to 2-under, 4 back of Chris Kirk. Give the podcast name again. How long have you been doing it for? What's your co-host name? Where can people get it?
Podcast name is For Profit, F-O-R-E, Profit. We're on all available platforms. My podcast host name is JD at JD Mazzola on Twitter. He does a sheet every single week. We have to be, as far as profitability, probably the most profitable golf podcast on the internet. So, man, check us out. We're funny, hilarious. We got songs and skits. You'll have a great time.
Last question here before I let you go. Would you say that you are more golf-based handicappers based on analytics? Are you just guys who watch a lot of golf? I know you play golf. Like, how would you describe it? Because I have seen you for years now, met you at the Westgate. You've been betting golf seriously for many years. How would you describe your approach to this?
Now, we're definitely analytical, and we try to tell everybody to, you know, use bankroll management as an approach. We're definitely about the stats and, you know, looking at guys, you know, based upon not only how great they're playing, but also on fatigue and how many weeks that they've been going in. So we're definitely the place to come if you definitely want to bet golf, for sure.
All right. Haven Brown, we'll flash up your picks again. Co-founder of the 4 Profit Golf Podcast. Thank you, Haven. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much, Gil. Keep it up.
Haven Brown, who can be seen hanging out at the Westgate, betting golf all the time. Let's flash up those picks once again from Haven. And again, although this tournament has gone off, a lot of these golfers have yet to tee off, so maybe some of the matchups on the left are still available. He's got Tyler Duncan over Michael Thompson, Maverick McNealy over Brendan Todd, Harmon over Jason Day, that's Brian Harmon, Sungjae Im over Ricky Fowler, well, that's already gone off, obviously, Finau over Fowler, Hubbard over Kirk. But those right there, some of which are available, even if they are not now, you may want to think about them for future rounds, though I'm not a round-by-round guy, quite frankly. Prefer the tournament as a whole. And then, of course, on the right, Hatton, Im, Reed, Hovland, Watson, Varner. Keep those names in mind when thinking about re-upping some of these picks. As always, the show brought to you by the good folks over at BetMGM. BetMGM doing big things as well with all their promotions. July marking the return of major sports. If you're in Nevada and want to get in on the action, you want to wager at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring world-class sportsbook and casino experiences to Las Vegas. Just download the BetMGM app today, the BetMGM app, that is, and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. That's the BetMGM app. Coming back with Chris Felica right here on the Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers Game right here at VSiN, brought to you by Manscaped.com. Manscaped.com is the tools for your family jewels. Perhaps you've heard that by now. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSiN at Manscaped.com. That is 20% off at Manscaped.com with promo code VSIN. It's Gil Alexander in San Francisco, you know, just for a week or two. Then I'll be back. And Danny Burke in Las Vegas at the mothership there at the studios, the beautiful South Point Hotel Casino. Danny, Chris Kirk, one stroke lead over Emiliano Griot. See, here's the thing with the last name for Emiliano. There's Griot, which is the Spanish pronunciation. He wants Americans not to try. He said, just say Grillo. And then I think there's an Argentinian pronouncer that's Grillo. I don't know. So we'll go with Griot. He's one stroke back. So Kirk at 6-under through 14. Griot at 5-under through 7. They're atop the leaderboard early going, of course, at the Rocket Mortgage Classic there in Michigan. Danny, let's just get some news and notes out of the way here before we get into Felica and his horse picks and Chrissy Andrews and the presidential odds and then Bill Krakenberger standing by. First with the football, two preseason games. This is no surprise, right? Weeks 1 and 4, what would have ostensibly been weeks 1 and 4 in the NFL preseason, those have gone by the wayside. That on the heels of the Hall of Fame game being canceled some time ago, just a week or two before. So that's it. And I think that's probably the way to go. You're good with that, right? No surprise there.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this coming as of this point. And look, we've kind of hashed on it earlier, and it's what the players have been aiming for regardless is to narrow down the preseason. So this is probably going to be something I would assume that translate into years coming in the future too. And it's just going to end up that way. And we're going to see changes like this throughout many leagues that probably have long lasting ends to it because of what's happening with this pandemic, and the preseason being shortened, certainly going to be one of them.
Yeah. You're right. Starting in 2021, when we go to 17 regular season games, supposedly, there will be no more than 3 preseason games per team. So this is a sign of things to come, and probably a good one. By the way, in 1978, up till 1978, they had 6 preseason games. Jeez. Do you believe that? 6. Good Lord. And then they turned it to the 4 that we've known for most of our lifetimes. All right. So that's the NFL. That's the latest. No surprise there. It is getting, I mean, look, it is just getting a little perilously close to the one sport we absolutely need to happen. NBA, we had a lot on the show yesterday. We fit in a lot. But we didn't get to this one NBA point. And I wanted to make it yesterday. Let's make it today. This is Adam Silver. And this is about the fact that there might have to be a delay on NBA broadcast. And what he's referring to, talking about the Orlando bubble, what he's referring to is possible cursing on the court. So, you know, these things might have to have a delay with no crowd, meaning you can hear the cursing and the schmack talking on the court that in an otherwise normal NBA season you wouldn't have to have because the crowd noise would drown it out. So, Danny, look, as much as I'm looking forward to the NBA bubble, if in fact it happens here later this month, may I just use that phrase, I always come from this stuff from a betting perspective, as you know. This is what we do. This will, unless, I mean, look, unless books are at the same disadvantage as we are, and I am going to be skeptical to think that they would be, they'll figure out something. This kind of knocks out in-game betting, a lot of it. So this is like a real downer bit of information for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the big aspect to it. Before that, though, I was actually kind of excited thinking now that we'll have an empty arena, just not even thinking about pumping in the crowd noise, that you could hear these guys kind of jawing back and forth and trash talking, even if they were able to bleep it out, because it's kind of, it's pretty much just going to be like very much competitive open gym, which is always entertaining. People love getting those highlights and watching that. But yeah, beyond that, with the live in-game betting ass, that's going to be very kind of just difficult to get a grasp on and really know if you're truly getting the right number on anything, right? And that's always kind of, people are skeptical about that because there's always that delay when they put out in the sports book regardless. So this is even going to be more so than that. So I don't know what kind of problems this is going to cause. It definitely makes me want to be a little bit more hesitant, kind of see how it plays out the first few games. But regardless, that's what I'm going to do to handicap anyways. And we were talking about this last week, and you know, if you're betting pre-flop going into it right away on the spreads, maybe just take it easy a little bit. Don't let your excitement get too much of it for you. But yeah, I mean, this is a very unique dynamic that's going to, I don't know, it's really just going to alter betting, in, at least for all of these leagues probably as of this point.
Well, I mean, let me clarify, right? Like, you shouldn't be betting these pre-flop against the number.
Yeah.
And if you had an inclination to bet NBA in the bubble in-game while play is going on, this should deter you from that. Now, in-game and commercial breaks, different story. But this should discipline you to just focus on that specifically. It's just another thing to throw into the mix of how odd all of this is with so many quirks. We'll come back. Chris Feliga, his horse racing picks of the day, Chrissy Andrews' presidential odds, and the crack man, the numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, where sports betting analytics live. Actionable sports betting information. It's Gil Alexander in San Francisco. Emiliano Grillo, as he wants us to pronounce his name, from Argentina. And Chris Kirk from the United States of America, University of Georgia product, both at 5 under now. Early co-leaders at the Rocket Mortgage Classic there in Michigan. Kirk, who I am informed by Danny Burke and by Chris Felik, anywhere between 80-1 and 100-1. 100-1 at the Westgate pre-flop. And then Griot, 150-1 in that range. Again, hella early, as the kids in the Bay say. So don't go crazy with that, but their odds obviously adjusted. We'll throw up the DraftKings leaderboard to see how drastically they've been adjusted. And you should. This is a great betting lesson of, it's literally like the first morning of the first round of the tournament. They should not change as dramatically as they do. But sadly for the sports better, they do. Let's bring in Chris Feliga, the Bear from ESPN's College Game Day. Of course, Daily Wager, one of the stars of Daily Wager, and of course, half of the Stanford Stephen the Bear podcast team. Good morning, Chris. Who's the golfer you thought about betting, didn't end up betting, and will just destroy you if he ends up winning?
Webb Simpson, probably, I think, would be the guy. You just, I was a little unsure, only because of, I didn't bet Webb. No, I was on Patrick Reed this week. Patrick Reed and Kevin Na. Yeah, and just because, thinking, you know what, he won the previous week. Last week he had the WD because of the COVID possibility, which tested negive, and now he's back. So I don't know that, but he would certainly be the guy. But so far it sure looks like the tournament is again very early, but playing out to kind of like what we had discussed yesterday where it was going to be, you're going to look at the top 10 and you know, have a whole bunch of these throw a dart type names, and you come up with James Hahn, Chris Kirk, and Peter Malnati, and then it again wind up on Sunday, and it's Bryson or Peter Patrick Reed or Webb Simpson winning. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, only half the field has gone off this morning.
Yeah, you're literally the first person I know that did not bet, did not have some action on Webb Simpson, who's three back, by the way. Yeah, very, very widely bet consensus pick on Webb Simpson. He's three back. Patrick Reed, yet to tee off, of course.
You know, it was surprising, too, and looking at the scores, to see Brian Snedeker right now propping up the field there. As Peter Alex used to say, the person who was in last place is propping up the field. But he's a player that normally plays. He's Donald Roth's course as well, and a really good short game. But he's a three over, so he's struggling. I know some people like him as a potential long shot this week, so hopefully he can make some birdies for those guys.
Isn't that such a golf thing to say something delicate that would otherwise be a mean thing, propping up the field? Ben Wright used to, any golfer would have this. Was that his name, Ben Wright, back in the day, the late Ben Wright?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Someone would have a terrible time on a hole, would end up, you know, triple bogeying or something like that, and he would remain silent. And then finally, when the putt would go in for, you know, the seven on a par four or whatever, Ben Wright would quietly say, "Pity." That kind of thing. Just like really polite way of announcing a horrific turn of events for any golfer. Anyway, we're flashing those up, by the way. I just wanted to, if we get the leaders once again. So I mentioned the thank you to Danny Burr for these 150-1 on Griot preflop. And then Kirk 100-1 ish preflop. And look at that adjustment, Chris. 22-1 on Kirk, 20-1 on Griot. This courtesy of I believe that's DraftKings, courtesy of. And you just think to yourself, you're like, oh, this is like, you know, halfway through not even halfway through the first quarter of a football game equivalent. So, you know,
right.
That's not fun. That's not cool.
Yeah.
But that's how they catch you. All right, shall we have some horses? How'd you do yesterday? Did we win any yesterday?
Well, we had a scratch. We had a scratch. We had a win. Had a third at a big number, and I think the other horse ran out of the money. So we did have the short price favorite at Gulfstream. I said was going to go off like 4-5, and that was the horse that actually befuddled. I believe the horse's name was. So we did get a short price win. So a win to winning. Today is an interesting card because it really isn't a ton going on during the day. Churchill just closed up shop. Camp is closed now. Gulfstream doesn't run today on Thursday. So Belmont is where we're at. And the back part of the card looks like a run of short price favorites or some short prices. So I don't have a ton on the back end of the card. But early on in the card, I do think that there are some opportunities to make some money. And in race two, I like the number six horse, Honorable Hero, who was 8-1. This horse drops back into New York Bred Company, his second start, almost an 8-month layoff, and stretches back out to a mile. So there should be a little bit of maybe a pace advantage here for him. And you look back to October, and you find a race at Belmont Park at 7 furlongs, and this horse finished in front of Nuts for Bolts, who's 5-2 in here. So Honorable Hero, 8-1, already finished in front of Nuts for Bolts. Same trainer and Nuts for Bolts as well, 5-2. That horse, you're getting a really good price, Honorable Hero. And then the favorite, Catch a Cab, couldn't win at this $25,000 claiming level for Jason Service. And now he's bet. I know it's short field, but I'm going to try and beat these top two choices with the 8-1 shot, Honorable Hero, the six horse, and the second at Belmont. The third at Belmont, I don't necessarily have a play, and it's only because I can't decide who I want to use as a key to beat the favorites. You look at the one and the three are the favorites in here, and there's I don't want any part of them. I can make a case for any of the other five horses in the race outside of the top two choices. So I'd be looking, if you're playing a pick four or a pick five or a pick three or something, I would steer clear of the top two choices on the board and take a look at the other five horses in here, because I think there's certainly some value to be had, and maybe the George Weaver horse is one that you might want to take a second look at. But in the fourth race, I do have a horse I like, and it's the three horse Rousey. Ran well at the non-winners and two lifetime level in his first try against winners, with almost three lengths clear of the third place horse against a winner that won by almost three lengths. So ran a really good race. The trainer Ed Barker has had a really good Belmont meet, and ever since going to the new barn, Rousey has been much better. And I would think that Rousey will move forward again today. And at 5-1, I'm going to take a shot on Rousey, the three horse in the fourth at Belmont. And then the last one I have is the fifth race, the five horse Cotton Candy Cutie, who is 10-1. And the trainer, Mirthcan Cantamarachi, who has actually won quite a bit of races in the Northeast, whether it's at Aqueduct, Belmont, or Monmouth, been really, really unlucky at the meet. He's only got one win, but from the 18 starters, okay, seven have finished either a second or third. So I think there's an opportunity here. The luck is going to reverse here. This one ran really well off the layoff last time, and I think speed stretching out is dangerous at 10-1.
Thank you, Chris. We'll come back. Chris Andrews next on the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Don't forget, BetMGM wants you to start out with a lock. That's why they're giving new customers a chance to win $50 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on either Man City or Liverpool to win. All you have to do is sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN50 to take advantage of this crazy offer. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today. Use promo code VSIN50 to win $50 in free bets when you bet $1 on either Man City or Liverpool to win. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. It's Danny Burke in studio. And ladies and gentlemen, it is Chrissy Andrews, the director of the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. Good morning to you, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good, Gil. How are you?
There you go. How you doing? Always great to talk to you. I didn't plan on doing this during your segment, but this is my buddy Blake over at Sports Odds History. Jeff Parlay texted me this yesterday. He was like, "Hey, did you see this? You see this from Blake?" And he just wanted, this, because we talk about political betting on this show, apolitically speaking. And Blake was just pointing out that right now this comes up because Joe Biden has gone to a -175 favorite in these markets against Donald Trump here in the upcoming presidential election. Still 4 months out. Anything could happen. But Blake points out that the only favorites greater than -150, I believe, and we could throw up that tweet, guys, were to lose in the presidential history were Thomas Dewey back in 1948, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And also, of course, there it is. There it is up on the screen. How about that? Thomas Dewey there in 1948 was -1800. Hillary Clinton in 2016, -550. I'll have to ask Blake exactly at what point he locks in those odds, because obviously Donald Trump was a favorite by the, by the time that was called. So I'll have to find out exactly when these are called. But Thomas Dewey, -1800, that's the famous historical photo where Harry Truman holds up the newspaper that said Dewey wins, that was printed beforehand, and Hillary Clinton obviously losing to Trump in 2016. He goes back all the way to 1872 with presidential odds. How is this possible, Chris?
Oh, you just Google it, and sure, you just go through. I think Pinnacle was open at that time, and you just find all their historical lots. No, I have no idea where they're getting some of these. I'd love to research that a little more closely and just find out. Because you know, we're talking about the Clinton Trump where those odds went. I talked to a guy from Chris, you know, the bookmaker. And like the first bet, like after the polls closed, a guy bet like several million on Hillary. They are up to minus like $15 or something like that on Hillary to win. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's like these odds are going to fluctuate like crazy. You know, where they got the Ulysses S. Grant odds, I have no idea. But, you know, I'd love to stop. By the way, they're looking no juice. U.S. Grant was minus $2, and Horace Greeley was plus $2. So I guess they didn't have a federal tax they had to pay. So everything was even money, essentially. Yeah. So interesting conversation.
Ulysses Grant back in 1872. Danny, but by the way, Chrissy is a baby boomer. I'm a Gen X, I discovered. And Danny Burke. Danny, are you on the desk here? Danny Burke is a Gen Z. Danny, I'm curious how the American education system has been with the presidents. Can you guess, Danny, the greatest favorite in U.S. presidential election history? Do you have any guesses on this?
Ooh, the greatest favorite.
I'm killing Danny right now. I'm killing Danny. Murdering him right now.
I don't. It wouldn't be the Truman and Dewey, is it? Or no, I feel like you wouldn't have spoiled it early on, but that would have been my guess.
No. Well, that was the greatest dog who's ever won.
Yeah.
Chris, if I asked you, you would have gotten this, right? Would you?
Oh, yeah. This was, you know, right when I was really starting to follow politics pretty closely. And a guy who, I guess, lost one state in the Electoral College. Lost one state in the Electoral College. Richard Nixon, yeah.
Richard Nixon, 520-18 in the Electoral College. He was minus 10,000 over George McGovern in 1972. And then Lyndon Baines Johnson back in 1964, minus 3,300 over Barry Goldwater, won at 486-52. Does any of this give you an itch? By the way, seriously, like a Ulysses Grant, Rutherford B. Hayes. Like there was like a streak of five dogs that won it after Ulysses Grant in the 1870s. Did like Jedediah Vaquero book these? Does this give you any desire to book these at all?
Oh my God! Yeah, it gives me tremendous desire. This would make the Super Bowl look like an exhibition baseball game if we could book the presidential election. You know, if anybody, and I think you could still find it on YouTube, Jimmy went on the Daily Show to talk about betting on the elections. And, you know, I mean, I've been a fan of the Daily Show for a long, long time. And my first thought was, oh my God, they're going to make Jimmy look like a fool. Well, of course, that we know Jimmy Vaquero. That did not happen. No. And actually, the exact opposite happened. Jimmy went on there and talked about how betting on the election would get everybody to vote. I mean, we're talking about, this is, besides voting rights, we want to get people out there to actually vote. And really all elections from president all the way down to, city council. And people, if you could bet on it, I'm not sure we should have betting on city council elections, but we should have betting on presidential elections. I mean, you know how hard it would be to fix that thing. So I think
he's
made a great point. If you had $100 on one of the, you would bet it.
He's been saying it for years. He used to have the caveat after saying that, but I think there's some things that are too sacred to have bets on, even though I feel that way. He's actually changed the second part of that now. Now he's all systems go. He's all guns a-blazing with it. He's like, we should do it. No disclaimer.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, should we have betting on city council elections? That's probably not in our best interest, but presidential elections, I think, like I said, if people bet it, they would go out and vote. If you had $100 on either one guy, you're going to go participate. And I think it's a good idea and impossible to fix, and they're doing it all over the world, and why should America be indifferent?
Talking to Chris Andrews, the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook Director. With basketball hopefully coming up, baseball and hockey as well, but with basketball, have you given any consideration to these totals that appear to be adjusted anywhere from 5 to 8 points already in anticipation of what bettors would bet had they been posted as, you know, regular totals or typical total of a specific matchup? 5 to 8, given this pandemic, given this layoff, given the rust that bookmakers are anticipating bettors will take into account. Are you subscribing to that? Are you going to watch that like I assume you'll watch it like the hawk. But what is your thought? Like, are you all in on that adjustment? Do you think it might be too much? What are you thinking?
You know, I never know how to take those because there's two different ways to look at it. Are guys going to be rusty offensively in, you know, putting the ball in the basket? You know, they might be. Or are their legs going to be different? You need to have legs to play defense, you know. And how are guys' legs right now? You know, you get in that fourth quarter and, you know, haven't been playing. I mean, because even, you know, in shape and then in NBA shape is two vastly different things. So I'm not sure who that actually helps. And you figure guys are out there probably shooting buckets, you know, and, you know, a shooter is a shooter. But, you know, there is a lot more to it. You have offensive coordination from your whole team. But again, you know, on the other side, conversely, you know, you got to have good legs to play defense. And, you know, at this point, I've never been a great totals guy in virtually any sport. So I'm going to watch the market as closely as I can. But I think there's two sides to that argument. I'm not sure which way it's going to go.
We sort of casually mentioned last segment that the NFL has taken away two preseason games, basically taking away weeks 1 and 4, what would have been weeks 1 and 4 of the preseason. And as sports fans, and largely as sports bettors, although some people obviously like it, and that's where the question is going, you know, as sports fans, as football fans, we don't really care about preseason games. But from your side of the desk, like, how big of a hit is that getting rid of two preseason games? Do you feel that?
Yeah, you know, I've told you before, Gil, you know, depending on the situation, and a lot has to do with what kind of information comes out. You know, there's been plenty of times where I've written more business on an exhibition football game than I have on a World Series game. And it's just bizarre. But number one, people are just dying for football. And when it finally comes up, people really want to bet it. And secondly, are we dancing around some key numbers? Has there been some information that comes out? Now, there's other exhibition games that I've put out and gets, you know, pretty much ignored by the public. But it can mean a lot. But the fact of the matter is, for a bookmaker, we haven't done exceptionally well in the, you know, recent past with exhibition football. So am I going to miss it? Yeah, I'm going to miss watching it because I think I'm really interested in seeing some of these. And we've had a lot of movement and stuff in that. You know, as far as players and coaches and all that, I wanted to see as much as I could, but I'm not going to miss the actual games themselves or booking them. But I think I would miss it more as a fan than I would as a bookmaker.
All right, Chris Andrews. Chrissy, thank you. Always great talking to you. The author of Then One Day. We apologize for the delay that we had there on that specific segment. Then One Day is the book. Get it? All books are sold, and of course, including Amazon. Bill Krakenberger, standing by, unscripted next on The Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.